This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Of all the medical diagnoses a physician can make, the diagnosis of ALS, amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, is really one of the most devastating. ALS, of course, commonly known as Lou Gehrig's disease. And medical researchers are hard at work seeking a cure or at least a way to ease the symptoms of this neurological disease. And the University of Michigan's in the forefront of this research. Researchers are asking the question, can stem cell injections delivered directly into a patient's spine lessen the effects of ALS? Researchers at the U of M Hospital have recently wrapped up phase one of a clinical trial exploring just how these stem cell injections work in patients with a deadly disease, and they've gotten the go-ahead to proceed with phase two. And that got us wondering about the state of the ALS research and of the often controversial issue of stem cell research here in Michigan. So joining me in the studio is the head researcher on this ALS project, Dr. Eva Feldman, who's a professor of neurology, and she's the director of the Alfred Taubman Medical Research Institute. Welcome to the studio. Welcome to Stateside,
Doctor. Well, thank you so much.
Describe for us, if you can, so we just understand what it is you're facing as a neurologist. What are the difficult challenges in treating ALS, let alone finding a cure?
So ALS is a very difficult disorder. It's a progressive neurodegenerative disorder that really has no cure up to this point and really very little treatments. In fact, we can actually do not much more than we could do when Lou Gehrig was diagnosed with ALS, in the 1930s. And the ALS is also known as Lou Gehrig's disease. So it's from the time of diagnosis, usually to death, is approximately 3 to 5 years. And what patients experience is this very progressive, painless weakness. So first they frequently have difficulty using their limbs, then they'll have difficulty speaking and swallowing, then eventually breathing. And one of the real conundrums of the disorder also is that most patients retain their ability to think normally. So while they're, thinking and engaging, they're having difficulty communicating, difficulty doing all their activities of daily living.
And as a physician, that just has to be so hard to realize that you don't really have anything in the toolkit that's better than it was nearly a century ago.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, that is one of the reasons that I've been so motivated to work on this disorder and to truly understand what causes ALS and try to fast track new treatments.
At least to, if not a cure, at least to ease the symptoms.
Yes,
and
exactly.
Slow the progression of the disease.
In fact, I think that our goal in our work currently is not necessarily to cure the disorder, mm-hmm. although, of course, we would love to. But if we could find a treatment that would at least stop the relentless progression, mm-hmm. because now what we see in our clinics is we'll diagnose someone and 3 months later we'll see loss of function. 3 months after that, even more loss of function, going from a cane to a wheelchair to not even being able to go into a wheelchair.
So what are you doing in the research?
So we're very excited about the work. First, let me tell you a little bit about the stem cell work.
Yes.
And so approximately now 7 years ago, I took a sabbatical to the state of California where they were doing very innovative stem cell research, not in ALS, but in other disorders. And I did a set of experiments looking at the potential use of ALS rats and treating those rats with direct injections of stem cells. And what I found, and I was quite surprised, is that rats lived longer and had much more function. And really, the ALS rat looks very much like a patient with ALS.
So that's the goal. That's what you want to achieve.
That's the goal. So what we did is we went to the FDA, mm-hmm. and they asked us to do a set of experiments or a set of work using a larger animal, a pig, to show that we could safely inject mm-hmm. stem cells, because it is a fairly aggressive procedure to put stem cells right into the spinal cord. Once we showed that, they gave us approval in January of 2010 to begin putting stem cells into the spinal cord of patients with Lou Gehrig's disease. We've now done 18 surgeries on 15 patients with ALS.
And
we have been able to show that this approach is safe. So first we put stem cells in the low part of the spinal cord. And then in the last part of our phase mm-hmm. one trial, we put stem cells in the upper part of the spinal cord. And the procedure is safe. And in a subset of patients, we believe there may be some salutary effects and that this transplantation of stem cells may be slowing the progression of the disorder.
Enough of a measurable effect that you say, let's proceed.
Enough of a measurable effect that we say, definitely let's proceed to a phase two trial. And in this phase two trial, what we're going to do is inject many more stem cells than we did in the phase one.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So what we know these stem cells do is when they enter the spinal cord, they encounter the sick nerve cells that are part of ALS or Lou Gehrig's disease. And they do two things. One is they surround the sick nerve cells, attach onto the sick nerve cells, and nurse them back to health. Okay. It's really quite remarkable. And the second thing they do is in the sick spinal cord of a patient with Lou Gehrig's disease, the whole, what I'll say, spinal cord neighborhood has a lot of evidence of inflammation and injury, and they go in and clean it up. So they're like good neighbors. They clean up this bad neighborhood, and they also nurse these sick nerve cells back to health so that no longer is there this progressive loss of function, but the patients actually stabilize, and we have a subset of patients that appear to have stabilized. Importantly, though, not every patient responds, and we're beginning to understand from our phase one experience which patients may be more likely to benefit from this type of therapy.
Now, just so we all get a refresher in biology, stem cells do what? What are they and what do they do?
Okay, so there are multiple different types of stem cells. Let me just explain three types. So one are embryonic stem cells. And the way we create embryonic stem cell lines is that an egg and a sperm are donated, placed into a petri dish, and embryos are formed. Now, most of those embryos are used for implantation in vitro fertilization clinics, but some of those embryos aren't used by donating couples. And those embryos can then be taken, and from those embryos, we can form embryonic stem cell lines.
You can actually grow the
cells. We grow the cells, and those cells are what we call totipotent, meaning they could become any cell in the human body. So those are embryonic stem cell lines. And now let me just segue all the way to adult stem cells. And adult stem cells are found, all of us have adult stem cells. You have them, I have them. And they are found in specific organs. So let me just tell you, there are brain adult stem cells. They can be harvested or examined, but what they can do is become a brain cell.
Yes.
So they're pluripotent. They can become many types of brain cells, but they can't become just any cell, unlike an embryonic stem cell. So they're determined, you know, they have a determination fate.
Yes.
And then right in the middle are the type of stem cells we're using. You could consider them teenage or adolescent stem cells in many ways. These cells know they want to become some type of cell in the nervous system.
Which is just what you want.
Just what we want. Now, they're not as differentiated. They're not as determined as adult stem cells. So they have a much greater therapeutic potential.
I know it took an intense campaign, we all do, an intense campaign in Michigan in 2008 to get voters to approve Proposal 2, which allowed the embryonic stem cell research. That vote actually was 53% to 47% as I look back.
Right.
Even with the passage of Prop 2, there has been controversy. There were some political obstacles even after. Where do you stand today? What's the political climate regarding stem cell research in Michigan today?
I still think we have some challenges, but with those challenges will come opportunities. I think our challenge still is that individuals don't understand stem cell research, don't understand the therapeutic potential and how important it is. And so our opportunity, of course, is education. But because of those challenges, when, for example, we announced having our phase two trial, we did get pushback from individuals who felt that we should not proceed to a phase two trial for Lou Gehrig's disease. The state legislature has passed a law approximately a year and a half ago that put some minor new regulations, reporting regulations on us that makes it a little bit more laborious for us to do our work because we meet all the federal reporting regulations. So there still is a lack of general enthusiasm by certain individuals about stem cell research. But I firmly believe if they understood what it was completely, then I think they'd really agree.
I would imagine just getting into the minds of people who say it's just not okay no matter what. The question remains, for example, you talk about the three-day embryos and getting the embryonic progenitor cells as they go down the road a little bit. Then what happens to the embryo?
Well, so I think what's important to understand is that these embryos all come from in vitro fertilization mm-hmm. clinics, okay? So for embryonic stem cell lines. And so what we used to do is those embryos that we didn't use, we would literally put them down the garbage disposal. We would destroy them,
okay,
because they weren't being implanted into the woman. So I always say I'm more pro-life than anyone I know because I don't want to destroy those embryos. I want from those embryos to create embryonic stem cell lines in order to be able to help individuals who have diseases. I mean, embryonic stem cells have the potential for type 1 diabetes, for, you know, to help with childhood cancers, childhood muscle diseases, adult cancers, Alzheimer's disease. I mean, from an infant to our oldest individual, these cells have great therapeutic potential.
When you look ahead and think of what you're doing at the University of Michigan, what does it mean for the state of Michigan? Where do you think, Dr. Feldman, the state would stand in terms of being a leader in the field of stem cell research in medicine?
Yeah, well, I think we have great potential. And there was a study done by a professor at Wayne State, Alan Goodman, who looked at the stem cell potential climate in Michigan in terms of bringing jobs to Michigan and dollars to Michigan. And he saw that if we would open up stem cell research more broadly in mm-hmm. Michigan, there'd be like an extra $51 million a year and over 800 jobs as we, you know, engaged more in stem cell research. So I think economically it's important. I also think we are at the forefront. We are the only institution, along with our collaborators at Emory, doing the type of stem cell transplantation or work we're doing in Alzheimer's disease. And I also think it means a lot to the health of the people in Michigan. If we're allowed to do the research, it's not only economically beneficial for the state, but, you know, we are bringing real therapies for diseases that previously have been untreatable.
When you're working, is your focus, are you lost in the science of the work, or are you cognizant of the politics and the emotions surrounding stem cell research?
What I'm most cognizant of? My patients. Mm-hmm. So I have worked with ALS patients at the University of Michigan for 25 years and have either directed the clinic or directed research at the clinic for that amount of time. We currently have 200 patients in our clinic, and it's a revolving door. Mm-hmm. So I go out every month and buy 2 to 3 sympathy cards, which I keep in my desk. And so as I'm in the laboratory, say it's midnight and I'm in the laboratory looking at stem cells or looking at my results, what I'm thinking about, to be honest, is not the general public opinion, but I'm thinking about my patients and the fact that I could serve, and I'm trying to serve as the bridge between the basic research I can do in my laboratory and a bridge over to my clinic where I can bring to them some sort of new therapy. So that's really what I think about.
Dr. Eva Feldman, a professor of neurology, she directs the Alfred Taubman Medical Research Institute at the University of Michigan. Thank you for sharing the research and your thoughts with us today on Stateside.
Well, thank you very much for having me.